Amen. It's good to be back again tonight, and I've enjoyed myself this week, and thank y'all for all the specials. I tell you what, there's nothing harder as a preacher to do than preach on a full stomach. I was telling them it was a church bulletin, and inside this bulletin, this missionary lady was coming to sing for the church for their missions conference. Now, don't laugh, but this lady's name was Bertha Belch. But that's not the bad part, all right? I mean, you often meet people with funny names, and whenever they tell you their names, you try to not to laugh, you know. But the bulletin, this is what it said. She's going to be their guest singer for the mission conference, and this is what it said. It said, "Come here, Bertha Belch, all the way from Africa." Amen. So that may be what y'all came to hear me do tonight. Amen. I got this full stomach. Book of Luke, chapter number 17. Luke 17. And look with me in verse number 11. If you're happy you're saved tonight, can I hear you say amen? Amen. Good. Luke 17. And if you can tonight, you got the Word of God, if you would stand with me in honor of God's Word. Luke 17 and verse number 11. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can just look on with somebody that does. You got an old King James Bible. If you don't, just keep it shut. Amen. Luke 17, look in verse number 11. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem," this is talking about Jesus, of course, "that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Very interesting story we're reading here. It's hard for me to imagine that these men who were just healed, these 10 lepers, actually 9 of them that I want to talk about specifically, these men had this terrible illness called leprosy, probably one of the most dreaded illnesses of that day. All of a sudden, Jesus comes through their village and heals them. And the Bible says that all of these men, they take off running, no doubt to see their families again. No doubt they were so excited they wanted to go see all their friends and show off to the town, their new skin. But for whatever reason, they took off and never even stopped to think about the one who had just healed them. Only one man stopped to think about it. And whenever he did, he returned and he gave glory to God and gave him thanks. Now listen, I believe with all my heart that all of these men were glad that they were healed. Would you agree with that? Boy, I think if I was dying of something like cancer or if I had a terrible illness like that, and all of a sudden the Lord healed my body, or a doctor came to me with a remedy and said, "Hey, Randy, this is going to heal you," I think I would be pretty excited about that. But may I say to you tonight, dear friend, that there is a big difference between being glad about something and being thankful. God wants us to be thankful. God wants us to have the right kind of attitude toward gratitude, you might say. And that's what I want to speak about tonight. The reason I chose this topic to preach, because I really believe with all my heart that if we could get the right kind of mindset about thankfulness, I really think that our churches could have revival if we just get right about this one area about thankfulness. And I want to talk about that tonight. I want to preach a message this evening I've entitled, "Think and Thank." Think and thank. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray tonight that You'd help me as I preach. Lord, I want to be a blessing. Lord, I hope that this would be the message that we need for the hour. Lord, I believe so much of our spiritual maturity, so much of our walk with God depends on our thanks, on our thankfulness, and upon the attitude that we have towards being grateful for things. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that You'd help us, Lord, just to think about how blessed we are. Lord, we live in I believe, the greatest nation in all the world. Lord, what an opportunity it is, Lord, to be a Christian, Lord, living in America, Lord, to have the freedom to assemble tonight as we are. Lord, have a Word of God, Lord, that we can open freely without any kind of oppression, Lord, tonight. Lord, we're not hiding out. We're not trying to conceal what we're doing tonight, Lord, for fear of our lives. Lord, we have the freedom, Lord, to meet here as Your people and sing and worship You. And Lord, what a blessing it is. Lord, we are such a blessed people. Lord, I pray tonight that You'd bless this service. Lord, give us a wonderful spirit in the invitation. And Lord, just bless all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You realize that the words think and thank have the very same root or come from the same root? In other words, thankfulness or thanksgiving comes from thinking about your blessings. For instance, whenever I think about Calvary, it makes me thankful for salvation. Brother, whenever I start thinking about what Jesus did on the cross, and I start thinking about the nails they drove in His hands and His feet, and the crown of thorns they placed on His head, and how they took a cat of nine tails and began to tear the flesh from His body, and how they drove the spear into His side, and how they ripped the beard from His face, and they spat upon Him, and they beat Him. Whenever I think about all that Jesus Christ did to die for my sins on the cross, brother, it makes me thankful that I'm saved. Amen. Boy, whenever I think about hell, it makes me thankful that I'm going to heaven. Oh boy, I tell you what, you flip over there to the book of Luke chapter 16 where the Bible talks about the rich man and Lazarus, and the Bible says that rich man, he died and he lifted up his eyes being in torments. He woke up in hell, and the Bible said that whenever he lifted up his eyes, he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried out and he said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Friend, have you ever wondered why, whenever you read that passage of Scripture, you ever wondered why that rich man, if he was in such pain, if he was in such agony, if he was so thirsty, why in the world would he ask for a drop of water? I don't know about you, but whenever I'm thirsty, I've been outside working, I've been outside sweating, I don't come in the house and say, "Honey, could you please pour me a drop of water?" I don't do that. Nobody wants to drink a drop of water when they're thirsty. Brother, I want a glass of water. I want a pitcher of water. Man, I like to come in the house and, man, I just drink right out of the tea jug. Amen? So why did he ask for a drop? Hey, listen, friend, I believe that that man was in such pain. I believe that man was in such anguish. He was in such misery that he would have been satisfied for just one brief moment of relief from the pain that he was having to endure. I think just one brief second, just something cool, just one brief moment of relief from the anguish that he was in. Now you hear me tonight. That rich man died some 2,000 years ago. And he's been in hell every day, ever since. And he'll be there forever and forever and forever and forever. He'll never have a night of rest. He'll never have any hope of ever escaping. He'll never have any prayers answered. He'll never have anyone there that he can call a friend. He'll never be reunited with any loved ones. But forever and ever in utter darkness, every day of his life, the flames, the Bible says, that are not quenched. Every day of his life, he has to deal with the worms and the maggots, the Bible says, that are there that are attacking the bodies of those eternal beings there that are in hell. Every day of his life, he'll have to choke on the smoke. Every day, the screams. Every day, the cries. Every day, the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. Forever and forever and forever. Every day, every week, every month, every year, every decade, every century, every millennium, forever and forever and forever. There will be one time that rich man will ever step foot out of hell. And that will be at the great white throne judgment. And God will call up every single person that's ever lived, that's ever breathed, will be called up at the great white throne judgment. And he'll stand there for a brief moment, only for enough time for God to look in the Lamb's Book of Life and say, "I'm sorry, I never knew you." And back into hell he'll go, back this time into the what the Bible caused the lake of fire for eternity, forever and forever and forever and forever. And brother, whenever I think about hell, it makes me thankful that I'm going to heaven. Amen. Or whenever I think about the guilt of my sin and things in my past, it makes me thankful for the forgiveness that I've received in Jesus Christ. The Bible says the day we get saved, that He forgives us of every sin. Every sin that I've ever committed, God has forgiven it, past, present, and future. Hey, listen, friend, whenever we think about these things, these blessings in our life, whenever we just stop to meditate on it for a little bit, it makes us grateful for what we have. And I believe the reason why we become so proud as Christians is because we never stop and realize that everything we have is something to be thankful for. Brother, we live in a day and age when everybody's got something to gripe about. You notice that? Man, we gripe about the economy. And everybody, for sure, right now is griping about the gas prices. Amen? And listen, friend, we gripe whenever it's hot outside. And brother, we gripe whenever it's cold. Amen? And listen, friend, there's always something to complain about, it seems like. Well, I was listening to a few fellows the other day on the news, and they were having a debate. And these guys were government officials. Some of them were senators, and they were on the news, and they were debating whether or not McDonald's hamburgers are too fattening for our society. And I'm sitting there watching this, Brother Lance, on the news, thinking to myself, is there nothing better for these government officials to be doing than to be sitting around arguing about a Big Mac? I mean, good night, friend. How spoiled are we in America where we don't have any gratitude for anything that we have? I mean, we just have so much we don't even thank God for it. Brother, I tell you what, you go over to the Philippines, you go over to Mexico, you go over to Africa or something like that, you see those little children running around and boy, their ribs are protruded and their bellies are bloated and they're half starved. I guarantee you, you won't find them complaining about no Happy Meal. Listen, we live in such a bountiful country that we never even stop to thank God for all the blessings that we have. Well, listen, I'll tell you what, in this text passage, we find a very interesting story. The Bible said that 10 men came to Jesus, and they all had the same prayer request. They all were dying, and they wanted to be healed. Bible said they had this disease of leprosy. They were covered from head to foot with these oozing wounds, forced to live on the outside of town because of their contagious disease. They were walking dead men, unable to be with their families or friends, and feared by everyone that encountered them. Leprosy was a very terrible disease, and without trying to be too gruesome about it tonight, what leprosy would do to a person's body, it would literally begin to make your body start its decaying process while you are still alive. Very painful sickness to have to deal with. A very painful thing to have to live with. I don't think there's anything in our society quite as dreaded as what this disease was. I think the only thing that could even be compared to it is something like AIDS or something of that nature. Just a disease that was greatly feared during that time that was incurable. Man, every day was like hell on earth for these men, rotting from an incurable illness, unable to be with any of their loved ones. Just one breath from these men could infect somebody else. And so here they are, they're living on the outside of town, thinking never again they'll be able to see their families, never again will they have their lives back ever again. And all of a sudden, one day, all that would change. The Bible said Jesus came to their village, and look in Luke 17, verse number 13, look what the Bible says. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Oh man, listen, friend, I just want you to get a picture of this for just a minute. These men are on the outside of town for a reason, because they're contagious, am I right? They're not welcome inside the city because they're so infectious. They definitely were not welcome inside of the temple. But whenever Jesus meets these men, Jesus tells them, hey fellas, go show yourselves to the priest. Now those men knew something. Whenever Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest, they knew that something was going to have to happen to them. Somewhere between where they were at in the temple, they were going to have to be healed. because there's no way they was going to be able to walk through town with leprosy. But they went ahead and they obeyed Christ. And the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. Amen. They went ahead and obeyed anyway, and God healed them. Oh man, their dream had come true. Man, all of a sudden their skin looked brand new. Suddenly they had their lives back again. No more pain. No more living in obscurity. Oh, I'm sure at that moment life had never seemed so happy. The air had never seemed so fresh. A bright future was now awaiting them. Well, I'm sure they couldn't wait to embrace their wives and children again. Wait until they see us, they said. Nobody will believe it. And so off they ran to see their loved ones and to show the town their new skin. Never once stopping to thank the one who had just done this for them. Only one man stopped and realized who had done this. I'm sure, Brother Lance, that he probably had a wife too. I'm sure he probably had some children too that he was excited about seeing. But all of a sudden, as he went on his way, all of a sudden the thought dawned on him, hey, you know what? I'd still be dying had Jesus not done this for me. I'd still have leprosy. I'd still be rotting without the mercy of my Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever he thought about it, he went back and he returned and gave glory to God. Hey, let me tell you tonight, dear friend, that thinking takes some thinking. Thinking takes some thinking. The Bible said in Psalm 92 and verse number 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. There's a lady, her name was Barbara Ann Kipfer. She began keeping a list of her favorite things and things she was thankful for as just a shy teenager. Soon the list became second nature to her. She found herself making additions while riding the bus and at the breakfast table and often in the middle of the night just writing things down that she thanked God for. 20 years and a dozen spiral notebooks later, her list was finally published as a book entitled 14,000 Things to Be Happy About. Boy, it'd do us all a little bit of good to write our own books like that, wouldn't it? Hey, man, I think we'd be surprised just how much God's done for us. There's another lady, her name is Frances Abigail. You may have heard that name. She's a famous songwriter, famous book writer. She's another lady who near the end of her life began jotting down every day on a calendar something, often just a little thing for which she thanked God. It was her way of thinking about thinking. I want you to notice two important things from this story that this leper did after he was healed. Look at it with me. Chapter number 17, look what he did. The Bible says, verse number 15, not only did he give God thanks, but the Bible said he glorified God and gave Him thanks. I believe those are two important things that every believer ought to apply to their Christian life. Glorifying God and giving Him thanks. I think it's something we ought to practice every single day that we wake up. The Bible says in Psalm 100 and verse number 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. You realize this evening, dear friend, that it is a sin to be an ingrate? You realize that? The Bible says, Colossians 3 and verse number 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Well, sometimes we just need to humble ourselves and realize, just like that leper, that without Christ we'd still be on our way to hell. We'd still be lost in our sin. We'd still be without any hope. But thank God for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. I often meet people say, well, Brother Randy, I'm a self-made man. There's no such thing. No such thing as a self-made man. God made you. He gives you air to breathe. He makes your heart to beat. And there's not a day that goes by that God's hand of protection is not keeping you from danger. You could have jumped out of bed this morning, hung your foot on the sheet, and broke your neck on the floor had God not prevented it. Amen. Every once in a while, we just need to stop and get right with our Lord about the spoiled attitude that we develop. Brother, if you're here tonight and you can breathe and you can digest food and you have a family and you've got friends and you've got food and you've got shelter and you've been saved and you had your sins forgiven, if you're going to heaven, if you've been pardoned from hell, then brother, you've got something to thank God about tonight. Amen. Hey, listen, we got to stop soaking and sitting around in our handful of thorns and start doing some thinking about thinking. Amen. It'll change your life, change the way you look at life. I believe we ought to be grateful for people who have done things for us along the way in our life. So you're talking about, I'm talking about your parents, talking about your grandparents, talking about your special friends, your relatives, your preacher. Amen. I believe you ought to be thankful. Hey, listen, friend, the very day that you were born, you already owed somebody for 9 months' room and board, and that's a debt you'll never repay. Amen. Even as I sat down and wrote this message, I couldn't help but think of my preacher back home who 4 times a week, sometimes more, sits down and prepares messages to preach to our church. Amen. It's not always an easy thing to write a message. It takes a lot of work, takes a lot of effort, a lot of prayer, a lot of concern goes into that, a lot of seeking God's wisdom and guidance about what direction to take the message, how to feed the congregation the best. Hey, listen, friends, it takes a lot of work for a pastor to always be fresh and ready to feed the congregation. You better thank God for a preacher that knows that Bible. Amen. That preaches it right, preaches it straight. Brother, I guarantee you, listen, I've met plenty of noodle-spine preachers out there that don't know what they believe on the Word of God, don't know what they believe about convictions, don't know what they believe about doctrine. Brother, thank God for a preacher that'll stand up for doctrine. Amen. You see, there's something very... I don't really know how you can explain it about our human nature. There's something about this old flesh that most of the time, Brother Lance, we don't realize how much we have until we don't have it anymore. And that's for the first time we ever really stopped to think about just how good we had it. Amen. I remember a few years ago, I was telling you this week about a trip we took to Alaska, and I was just thinking about this the other day. You know, we was talking about McDonald's with these guys, and made me think of this story. We took this hunting trip, and we flew in a little bitty bush plane there in Alaska. We flew about 250 miles north of the Arctic Circle. We got on a raft, and we floated 150 miles back down towards a little no-attack village. And I remember during that long hunt, I can remember thinking to myself, I mean, you can only stand eating beanie weenies and Vienna sausages, you know, so much. I mean, you only take so much of that. I like Vienna sausages, man, but not as a meal every day. Amen. You can only take romaine noodles. You can only take all the MREs so much before you start wanting a hamburger. Amen. And I can remember sitting out there on that boat being so hungry. And I would tell Dad, you know, I mean, here we are. We're about 7 hours jet flight from the nearest McDonald's. And I remember telling Dad, as we're floating down on that river, I remember telling Dad, Dad, I don't think I'm ever going to complain about having to eat at McDonald's ever again. Now listen, I've traveled all my life, and man, I live off of fast food. And I tell you, I get pretty sick of hamburgers. But I can remember sitting on that raft just dreaming about a quarter pounder with cheese. I mean, man, I'd sit there thinking about it, and my mouth would start watering. It reminded me of that little cartoon. You ever seen it before where those three guys are out there in the middle of the ocean, and they're in a big wash tub? And, man, they're stranded out there for weeks, and all of a sudden the one fellow looks at his buddy, and he's a big fat guy, and he starts imagining that he's a hamburger. And then he looks over at his other buddy, and he's a tall, skinny guy, and he starts imagining that he's a hot dog. You know what I mean? That's how I felt out there on that raft. Hey, listen, I tell you what, you never realize how good you got it until you don't have it no more. Well, the first time the power goes out, we find out that's true. Amen. And ladies, your hair blowers don't work, and your curling irons don't work, and lights don't work. And man, everybody's going to sleep at 7 o'clock. There ain't nothing else to do, man. TV won't come on, computer won't come on, ain't even got a light to read a book with. Everybody just sits around the kitchen table staring at each other under candlelight. Everybody goes to bed early. Man, I wonder how many people come to church on Sunday morning, preacher, that a curling iron didn't work. Amen. Hey, listen, man, you don't realize how much you have till it's gone. Like the Bible says in Proverbs 27 and verse 7, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. You ever notice how good food tastes when you're hungry? Amen. Even okra tastes good when you're really hungry. Number two, let me say this evening, we need to put thankfulness in proper proportion. So what do you mean by that, Brother Randy? Martin Luther once said this, "We exhibit a degree of thankfulness in life in reverse proportions to the amount of blessings we've received." In other words, what he was trying to say is, it seems like many times in our life, the more that God blesses us, and the more that we have, it seems the less we regard it. You would think that wealthy people, people that have everything, people that have millions and billions of dollars, you would think that they would be the most happy and satisfied people on earth, wouldn't you? But we know that most of the time it's just the opposite. Boy, most of the rich people that I've ever met in my life are usually, man, have all kind of family trouble, have all kind of turmoil, have all kind of drug problems and all kind of things like that. I'm thinking of a man right now. He's kind of a distant relative of ours, but he's got a lot of money. Man, I tell you, he just blows it left and right and blows it on his kids and all kind of stuff. He's got a brand new house, but his kids hate his guts. The girl came into his house the other day and they got in an argument, and so to pay him back, she goes in the house, she stops up all the drains in the kitchen and leaves all the water running. Floods his house. Brother, I think, man, you'd think the more money that you have, the more that you have, boy, you'd think you'd be the most grateful person in the world. But we know it's a lot of times just the opposite. A lot of times it's the people that don't have anything that are most thankful for what they have. Most thankful for the clothes they're wearing. Most thankful for the food that's on their table. Well, a hungry man is going to be more thankful for his little morsel than a rich man will be for a heavy laden table. A lonely woman in a nursing home is going to appreciate a visit more than a popular woman will with a party thrown in her honor. A Russian who finally gets his own copy of the Scriptures after 75 years or so of state imposed atheism is going to be more grateful for his little book than we are for all of our Christian books and Bibles and magazines and music that overflows our store shelves. Why? Because the more that we have, sometimes the less we are thankful for what we have. You ever thought about this? Can you imagine if the constellations of stars, I mean the stars we see all the time, can you imagine if those stars only appeared once every 1,000 years? Imagine what an event that would be. Brother, nobody would miss it. Everybody would be outside laying on their lawn the night the stars appear. And I mean, man, they'd be sleeping in hammocks. They'd be sleeping in their sleeping bags. They'd have tents out there. Everybody would have a telescope. Everybody would be looking in binoculars and everything they could find. Because, wow, look at the stars! And because they're there every night, we hardly ever give them a second thought. We need to put thankfulness in proper proportion. And the more that God blesses us and the more that we have, the more we ought to spend time thanking God for all the blessings in our life. One of the things I find unusual sometimes about church, a lot of times we'll come and we'll share our prayer requests, and I'm all for that, brother. I'm all for praying for one another's needs. We'll raise our hand and we'll ask everybody to pray for a certain need, and we'll go home and we'll spend time praying about it. We'll pray about it all throughout the day. Whenever we think about it, we'll pray for it at the meal times. We'll pray for it before we go to sleep. And we'll spend hours and hours and hours over certain needs that come into our life. What's amazing to me, though, preacher, all of a sudden the Lord answers those prayers. And those prayers that we had spent so much time praying for God to answer, all of a sudden the need is met, the prayer has been answered. It seemed like we spend just a few seconds thanking God for what He did. Brother, listen, if you can spend hours praying for a need, what's wrong with spending hours thanking God for meeting your needs? Amen. Hey, listen, I think we ought to put it in the right perspective, in the right proportion. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, "In everything give thanks." That means in the good times and the bad times. Amen. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Heard a story about a bunch of preachers. They were coming to a meeting. One preacher got there, and man, they were talking, and he said, "Man, fellas," he said, "I got a lot to be thankful for tonight." He said, "I was on my horse tonight, and we was coming down the road, and we came up to a bridge, and I didn't know, but the bridge was out, and we almost died. The horse had enough sense to stop. If we had kept going, we would have died in that water." And those preachers said, "Boy, you really do have a lot to be thankful for." Man, another preacher, he began to say, "Fellas, man, I got a lot to be thankful for too. And he begins to talk about all the things that happened to him on the way and how dangerous of a trip it was. Last guy said, "Well, guys, I guess I've got the most to be thankful for." And they said, "Boy, what happened to you?" He said, "Nothing. I had a completely wonderful and pleasant journey." Hey, listen, the Bible says in everything, give thanks. We need to face it, folks. We can never, ever repay God for all that He's done for us. Nor does He ask us to. But we should at least recognize and be thankful for all that He does for us. I believe we should always give God glory for the blessings in our life. When is the last time, friend? I'm just asking you to think about it. When was the last time that you told somebody about how good God has been to you? I mean, you just told them. Maybe you gave a testimony. Or maybe you just shared it with your family. You told somebody how good God has been in your life. Brother, I tell you, we'll talk about ourselves all day long. As if though we deserve the credit somehow. Man, people come up and give us a compliment and we just soak it in. But when was the last time that you told somebody else how good God's been to you? You want to know why a lot of times our kids grow up in church and they get old enough to leave the house, they don't want to have anything to do with God? Can I be honest with you tonight? It's because all their life, a lot of times, they hear mom and dad griping about all the things they can't afford. All their life, they hear them say, "Well, we can't afford this, we can't afford this. We can't even pay our bills this month. Well, we can barely tithe. No, son, you can't do this, you can't do this, because we just can't afford it." And let me tell you something, parents. There's not a person in here tonight that if you really wanted to, couldn't go out and buy yourself a Big Mac. Brother, I'm here to tell you, we don't need to complain about God's blessings, especially to our children. You know what I want to do with my wife? You know what I try to do with my family? You know what I try to do, especially with young Christians in the Lord? I try to be as positive about everything as I can because I don't want to discourage anybody. Brother, I tell you what, we ought to spend time telling our kids, "Hey, man, thank God for all His blessings. Man, thank God we got the bills paid this month. Thank God we got something to eat tonight, kids. Man, look at all God's doing for us. Look how God's taking care of us." We spend so much time griping, so much time complaining that we never stop to think about just how much God's provided for us. We ought to spend more time giving God the glory for the things that He's done. I think we ought to spend time in prayer. I'm talking about taking time out of your prayer life. Just get on your knees some morning or some evening. Get ready to pray. Instead of asking God for needs or making any kind of prayer request, put all that aside and just spend your entire prayer time thanking God. Brother, I tell you what, it'll help you. Especially whenever you're discouraged. You'll be surprised at all the things you begin to think about. "Oh, Brother Randy, I don't really know where to start. I don't really know what to say." Well, man, just start walking through your house and thank God for your home and thank God for your refrigerator. And man, open it up and start thanking God that there's food in there. Go out to your garage and thank God you got a car that still runs a little bit anyway. Amen. And thank God for your kids and thank God for your wife and thank God for the home that you are brought up in and thank God for your church. Every once in a while, we just need to stop and look around and say, "Thank you, God, for all you do for me." Spend time thanking God in prayer. My dad always told me, he said, "Son, if someone gives you a penny, thank God for it." Amen. Be grateful. Brother, nobody likes an ingrate. Nobody likes an ingrate. Brother, there's nothing that bothers me more. Christmas time rolls around. Or kid's birthday rolls around. Everybody's opening up presents. And man, you see some little kid, he's got a Christmas present and he's tearing into that thing or she's tearing into that thing. She opens it up and there it is, a big dollhouse. And she starts screaming and wailing and she's out on the floor and she's kicking her feet and she's hollering at her mom and dad and she's tearing down the Christmas tree and she's destroying the house, throwing a fit because she wanted the 5-story dollhouse. You just want to take them and you want to wring their neck. Hey, listen, friend, nobody likes an ingrate. I remember a time we was out playing a game of softball. There was a fellow out there. He's a full-time Christian servant. He's a good man. I'm not trying to pick on him tonight. Good friend of mine. We was out there playing softball, and me and my wife, she actually noticed before I did. She came up and noticed that he's out there playing softball in his dress shoes. And we just figured that the reason he's playing in his dress shoes is probably because his tennis shoes are wore out. And so we decided, I said, honey, why don't we go buy him some new shoes? So we went to the store and bought him a brand new pair of Nikes. Now listen, I know my heart at the time, and God knows my heart. I did not go out and buy those tennis shoes so that he could get up in church and say, ladies and gentlemen, I have an announcement. Brother Randy Taylor bought me a new pair of tennis shoes. That's not why I did it. I did it because I honestly want to be a blessing. I honestly wanted to encourage him by doing that. But whenever you do something nice for somebody, you at least kind of expect that they're going to be happy about it. And you at least kind of expect that maybe, just maybe, they will say thank you and act like they're glad that you thought about them. Am I right? So, man, I buy these shoes for him. I walk up to him and I hand him these. I said, man, brother so-and-so, we saw that, man, yeah, was playing in your dress shoes. And so, man, I went and I picked up some Nikes. And he took those shoes, and you know what, preacher? It was almost like he just expected that we were going to do that for him. And he didn't say thank you. He didn't even act glad about it. He just took the shoes and walked away. Now, Lord knows I wasn't doing it just for a thank you. But you know what? We ought to have the right kind of attitude when people are blessing us. We ought to be thankful for everything that we have. Brother, nobody likes an ingrate. I remember one time when I was growing up, I was just a kid. And people donate things to the camp all the time. And I'm honest with you tonight, friend. I don't think that you'll find a more thankful person. I mean, openly thankful person than my dad. I mean, when somebody gives something to camp or somebody comes and is a blessing, I mean, he is very, very good about trying to be thankful. And I remember this one evening, man, it was during this evening service. We were under a tent and somebody had donated to the camp a milk machine. Now, I have no idea what a milk machine is supposed to do. But he gets up and he is talking about this milk machine like it is the greatest thing that's ever happened to Mount Salem Revival Grounds. And he's going on and on and on and on about how wonderful it is to have this milk machine. And this guy sitting next to me, he says, you know what, Randy? He said, I think your dad is the only man on earth who can be thankful for a milk machine. And you know what? We ought to be thankful. We ought to be grateful for the things that God does in our life. Let me say number three and we'll go to the house. I believe that ingrate leads to reprobate. Ingrate will lead to reprobate. Let me show you what I'm talking about this evening. I think this is very important. Flip over to Romans. Romans chapter number 1. And look in verse number 28. You still with me tonight? Can you say amen? Romans chapter 1 and look in verse number 28. Some of you know where I'm going with this. I want you to notice this verse. The Bible says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now that verse right there, that is talking about people who are committing very wicked and perverted sins. Sins such as homosexuality. And yes, dear friend, in case you're wondering, homosexuality is still an abomination in that Bible. Amen. But the Bible says that God turned them over to a reprobate mind. You say, oh, Brother Andy, that's got to be talking about lost people. You know what? I used to think so. I've heard preachers say that only lost people can have a reprobate mind. But I want to show you some verses tonight that may show you something a little different than what you may think. Flip over a few more verses. Look at verse number 18. Let's see who this passage of Scripture is talking to. He said, Brother Randy, only a lost person can get that type of a state of mind. Only God would only do that to an unsaved person. I don't think so. Look at verse number 18. Look what the Bible says. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Look at the next phrase. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Who holds the truth? I thought believers held the truth. I didn't know the lost people did. Verse number 20 at the last part of the verse talks about being without excuse. Verse number 21, this is the key verse I want you to see. And this is where it all starts. I believe this verse right here is where the process of getting a reprobate mind all starts. Look at verse number 21, what the Bible says. That because when they knew God... Boy, I didn't know a lost person could know God, did you? When they knew God, here it is, don't miss it, they glorified Him not as God, neither were what? Thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I believe that probably most of the problems that develop in our churches develop by people who are unthankful and ungrateful. And see, whenever we stop being grateful for the things that we have, we start ripening. We start looking for problems. We start looking for people to pick on. We start picking each other apart. Hey, listen, friend, it makes God very angry when we gripe and are unthankful. Man, just check out the children of Israel, the way God felt about it whenever they began to gripe. Look at Ecclesiastes 9 and verse number 14. Look at this verse real quick. Ecclesiastes number 9 and verse number 14. This is just a short, couple little verses here, but it's got a kind of a neat story to it. Ecclesiastes 9:14 says this: there was a little city and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. That verse talking about is this city's being overtaken by a great king. Nobody knew what to do. Nobody knew how to save this city except this one little wise man. And he, through his wisdom, had a solution to save that town from that great king. Did you notice the last statement the Bible says? Yet no one remembered that same poor man, that same wise man. Hey, listen, friend, we ought to be thankful for people that do things for us. We ought to be thankful for the blessings of God. Every once in a while, we just need to stop and count our blessings and think about everyone that has been good to us and just how good we've got it and say, thank you, God, for being so good to me. I mean, just think about all the people who carry responsibilities at this church alone. I'm talking about tonight, the Sunday school teachers. I thank God for Sunday school teachers. Amen. I'm talking tonight about the nursery workers. Talking about the van drivers. Piano and organ players. The decorators. The finance keepers. The junior church directors. The song leaders. I'm talking about the soul winners. Those faithful to visiting the bus and van routes. I'm talking about the toilet scrubbers. The bulletin designers. Those who correspond with missionaries. Those who work in the offices. Let me ask you something tonight, Christian. Do you actually think that you could do all of those things by yourself? There's no way. There's no way. So every once in a while, what we need to do, we just need to go to some of these people who are faithful all the time, always in their place, always in their Sunday school class, always doing their job, always in church. We just need to walk up to them and we need to say, thank you for all that you do around here. Thank you for the way you've invested into our kids. Thank you for the way you helped us out, man. Man, thank you for that time, man, when you was really hurting, we was going through a hard time, and you came up and slipped me some money in my hand when you shook hands with me. Thank you for the time you brought groceries over to our house. Man, thank you for the way that you invested into our family. Thank you for just being faithful to church. Thank you for teaching my kids in Sunday school class. Man, thank you for watching out for the bus kids. Man, thank you for all that you do. But I tell you what, there's a lot of people who, man, they're just always in their place doing their job. We need to thank God for them. I thank God for the people in my life, like my parents. And where would I be without my parents tonight? I thank God for my grandparents and their godly influence. Man, my grandfather just finally had to give up his bus route. Drove the same bus route for 39 years, picking up bus kids. I thank God for the pastors that have been in my life. I thank God for the youth pastor that I had. Man, I had the meanest youth pastor that ever walked the face of the earth. I'm not kidding, man. He didn't know how to preach an easy sermon. Every Sunday morning, brother, he ripped our lips off. He'd get up, man, he'd preach against drugs. He'd preach against alcohol. He'd preach against rock music. And I didn't even listen to rock music. The man, he'd come into church and he'd have CDs, man, and he'd be busting them on the ground and he'd be screaming at us. But you know what? I needed that when I was a teenager. I needed somebody to be the right kind of influence in my life. And sometimes we just need to go to some of these folks and say, man, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for the blessing that you are around here. The Bible says that 10 lepers were healed from their terrible illness. Only one returned to give glory to God. The Bible says back in our text verse, Luke 17 and verse 16, the Bible says, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? That are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. The Bible says that all 10 men were cleansed. Am I right? So this one man comes back and he gives glory to God. And the Bible says that Jesus looks at him and says, man, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Well, why did God tell that man that he was made whole? I thought all 10 of them were made whole. Hey, listen, only the man that returned to give glory to God was made whole, both physically and spiritually. And we ought to be thankful for what God's done for us. Psalm 116, verse number 12 says this. It says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? Oh, what a verse. Man, God's been so good to me in my life. Brother, I have no complaints tonight. I'm not saying that life's always easy. Man, everybody knows life's hard sometimes. But God always provides a way. God always makes a way for you to get through. I remember the first summer me and my wife were married. Man, we was just really having a hard time. It was during camp season, and while camp's going on, a lot of times I can't go out and preach as much as I normally would. And man, like we say in evangelism, no preaching, no eating. Amen. And man, this summer we were having a hard time. We had some bills we had to pay, and we was just really worried about how we was going to make ends meet. We just kept praying, just knew that we were in the will of God, doing the right things. So God knew our problems. God eventually worked it out somehow. Went down to the mailbox one day, opened it up, there's an envelope in there. Little old family, man, I know of them, but I don't really know them very well. I've shook hands with them a few times in my life. Opened up the little mailbox, opened up the little letter, and inside there was a check for $1,000. I just, things like that makes you thankful for what God, how God watches out for you. I remember a time, oh boy, last winter. Man, it was just one of those times, man, you're flat broke. You ever get that way? My preacher always said, man, it's not a shame to be poor, it's just inconvenient sometimes, amen. And this particular time, brother, we was broke. Man, I mean, we were pinching pennies for sure. There were some ladies that were going to go out shopping. And man, me and my wife, we'd been traveling a lot. And she got back home and she really had her heart setting on going shopping with those ladies. And I just really hated to tell her, honey, we just don't have the money. And I remember just thinking to myself, boy, I wish there was some way I could let my wife go shopping. I began to ask the Lord, Lord, there's got to be a way. There's got to be somehow I can let my wife go shopping. And so, man, I keep all my change. I always do. Man, I began to dig through my truck. I began to dig through my coin, bags and all that kind of stuff that I had laying around the house. Man, I dug through the sofa. I dug all through the car. I dug through all the junk drawers in our kitchen. I went up to my office and I began to roll all the change. And I got through, I'd rolled about $60-something dollars worth of money. Man, I took my wife and said, honey, go shopping. Amen. Hey, listen, God always has a way of working things out. Amen. There's always something to be thankful for. Says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? Brother, God's been so good to me, it's hard not to serve Him. Amen. I like that song that says, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when He has done so much for me? Thanksgiving comes from thinking about our blessings. Whenever we think, we'll be thankful. Amen. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed.